Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, what's up? Hour number two, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, hanging around with you as we are getting more frequently doing here. Sal Capaccio down at minicamp. And as always, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I teased something going into the break that I really wanted to bring up about James Cook that kind of makes me feel a little encouraged, so to say, about the whole scenario. You got to remember, the thing I was dreading more was having to talk about this because I always thought that this was a non-story. Which leads me into this new point about James Cook. Is there any better way for a player to have gone into a negotiation sort of thing publicly, with the public eye, I should say, than what James Cook is doing? Which is, quite simply, I would like a raise because I'm good at my job, but not disparaging the team for not getting it done. I don't know if there's a better way for this to be going, to be shaking out right now in terms of this season standalone. When it comes to next year, the contract being up, do they re-up him? What kind of price? If not, what's he getting free agency? All that is not in my focus. I am talking about this offseason. And now into this part of it, is there a better way? And there's only one answer to yes, if he's a full participant in minicamp.
I agree. I like the way you worded it, too, because it's in a negotiation.
Yes.
Because there have been players that just got extensions and we never heard from them at all.
Yeah.
This offseason for the Bills. But we did know, and that's fine, James Cook and the Bills are still in a negotiation.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
I guess quiet is the best way. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on that. But
that's the thing, is that we know they're in a negotiation. Could end now, could end in February, could end in March when he's not a Bill or is a Bill, whatever, what have you. But he didn't show up for the voluntary stuff, which is fine. No issues. Josh Allen didn't show up for week 2 either because he got married. Certain people could say, well, you could have gotten married at
Bills quarterback controversy.
Right? Well, I personally want to hear from Josh Allen to hear if rich people still take honeymoons, but that's neither here nor there. For Cook, I think you are right that he handled this in maybe the best way. It also helps, though, because we've brought up the Bengals a lot. It's not like the Bills go about it in a bad way. They're not disingenuous in this either. With the Bengals, you look at it.
They went public about Trey Hendrickson a couple times now.
And that's the thing. The Bengals, they start negotiation wars. It does appear the Bills are just in negotiations. I'd also say, too, you know who else is just in negotiations? Dallas. Dallas, you very rarely get bad blood. The difference there is, and where it frustrates everyone, is, Jerry, why are you waiting so long? Why are you waiting for other players to get big deals so the price gets bigger?
Hang on. Didn't this offseason Jerry slam one of the agents for Micah Parsons?
He slammed an agent, but he's fine with Parsons.
Yeah, but that's my thing, is that, like, and it kind of irked Parsons. I remember that.
Well, yeah, because Parsons was like, I'm not signing anything unless my agent's there, which legal representation or agent, that makes complete sense.
Of course it's going to happen. But yeah, like that. So it does happen sometimes, like even with Dallas. But more times than not, oftentimes you'll see teams not really get into that sort of thing, and oftentimes it's you know, the player wants more, the team's playing hardball, they want to try to get the public favor for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All Cook has been doing is every now and then posting on social media, yeah, $15 million sounds great.
Yeah.
Which is a very normal thing to say.
It is. And I do wonder, maybe specifically with this fan base too, having just come off the Stephon Diggs stuff. With Diggs, ultimately, I mean, like, it was at times very entertaining. Diggs tweeted like somebody that wasn't a superstar athlete, which was both entertaining but also like, dude, please, like, for the love of God. And there was also that aspect of Diggs that, while I both very much appreciated it, it was somewhat stressful. He never would fully commit, right? Whenever he would sit in with Kay Adams or at Super Bowl week and he would be doing interviews, he could never fully commit to, I want to retire at Buffalo Bill. I love Buffalo unconditionally. Josh Allen is incredible at this. Day one, he's like, Buffalo, done, great. And it's been that way since. And Sal brought it up with us in the first hour. James is very gracious with the media, but let's not act like he talks a lot. He's not Matt Milano, where I'm not sure he speaks. But James Cook does not talk a lot. And so for many of us, there is sort of this, I don't want to say not understanding, but there is some questions of like, does he love living here? I mean, he's from Florida, went to school in Georgia. Maybe he doesn't really want to be here. Well, I mean, his brother Dalvin kind of fought for a big contract. Maybe like that's really what he's doing. Like, is he getting all his P's and Q's from Dalvin? Does he eventually want to leave? I mean, he's retweeting $15, $20 million. You ask questions because you're not getting everything. It was the same with Diggs. It was just more frustrating. And then it got really frustrating when ultimately a lot of it did kind of turn out to be right. He treated it as exactly as it is, a business. And to be fair, I do credit Stephon Diggs on that a lot because he treated it as a business exactly like how a team would. And he never lost that feeling on it. A quarterback, and especially a superstar quarterback, you can have a very different feel on the game. You are very different to the game. Allen did this back, I think, in 2019 during one of the Bills Embedded episodes where he's one of the few players that can just miraculously call up Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott and they'll answer. Where some of the other players joked that, like, they can't do that.
Right.
It's different for a quarterback. And I think Allen balances it wonderfully. I have no issues with it. But there is that difference. I agree with you. I really don't think Cook could have handled this any better, especially because it is an open negotiation. They are working towards something. But in the same vein, I think the Bills have also done a really good job with it.
As a matter of fact, the bigger annoyance throughout the offseason has been towards Dalvin Cook, not James Cook.
Right? It almost feels like everyone's looking at him going, like, wait a second, look what he did, though.
Yeah, and but also Dalvin being almost more vocal than his brother,
yeah,
in a sense, for this sort of thing is also kind of where it's again, those tea leaves, it was very easy to read. I really, this is where I still didn't understand everyone being too nervous. And you bring up the Stephon Diggs thing, and I guess that's probably where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was never worried for a second about this. And especially because of Cook's personality, the fact that he does not try to go seeking out attention. Being in a hardball stance for a new contract is exactly the antithesis of what James Cook is in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, suddenly every single microphone's in front of you.
Yeah.
Hell, if he shows up today and Sal said, like, if he does speak today, every microphone's going to be in front of him.
Mm-hmm. I do hope he speaks. I don't anticipate he will, but I'd like to hear from him.
Yeah, but it's
especially because, again, like, the only things we've gotten from him are retweets,
yeah,
and tweets, or as you mentioned,
or pictures.
Pictures or like some Instagram lives where he goes on and rips up some, you know, AFC East rivals. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It is curious, though, like, watching these go on. It's also something, too, that being on a good team and a team that you can somewhat reasonably consider is well run.
I watched Jalen Ramsey in Miami or Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville or mm-hmm, for example, now Yanu Smith with Miami or Terry McLaurin, you know, showing up and trying to get there in a measure of good faith and then not,
mm-hmm, yep,
not only not getting it done, leaving OTAs and now not at minicamp. Buffalo does still hold a large amount of the power, and that is the unfortunate part of it on a player for your first contract. Is especially if you're not a first round selection, that contract isn't the greatest.
Yep. This year alone, he is going to make all of the money he made the previous 3 years.
And that's the big deal. It's often backloaded on those rookie deals.
Yep.
You don't want to lose that money. Like you just said, it's more than combined the last three.
Mm-hmm.
Or as much. Yeah, I'm not losing that money. You've kind of got me where I've got. Like, it just, I'm where I am. So there is not as much power. And I did say yesterday, if he's skipping minicamp, that's bad agent advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any agency wants to lead a player down that road.
Yeah.
Or should want to lead a player down that road. It's disingenuous at that point. So you're expressing your desire for a raise. It's not completely silent, but it's relatively tame
mm-hmm.
compared to other situations.
Yeah.
And you take that for what it is. So, James Cook, keep being you, man. I like it.
His career earnings up to this point, $4.6 million. And 2025 cash, $5.3
million. And I do, again, so we are talking about millions of dollars. So that's something that obviously does not really resonate or is something that's relatable to mm-hmm. us or the listening audience. It's not relatable. So obviously people will get angry about that. Because we are talking about millions of dollars. But James Cook's core argument here is, I'm doing well at my job. I would like a raise, please.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the please is part of the message.
Yeah.
It's not a demand necessarily more than a please. Because if he really wanted to be angry with the tone of it,
I mean, there were ways he could go about it.
He would not be here today.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, period.
And a lot of people didn't think he'd be here anyways.
There were a lot of people that thought that too. And
weren't immediately thinking, oh, he's not going to be here training camp. He's not going to play. It was just more like this is one he could miss. He'll lose money, but they're in a negotiation. This is a negotiation tactic. He could absolutely miss.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, though, is this also maybe Cook blinking first? If you're looking at the negotiation of him going like, okay, hell, all right, I gotta go. I gotta go.
But if he's blinking first, yeah.
I'm not going to complain.
It's also probably what was going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Tea leaves. This one was an easy read. And I understand why people were nervous about it now, because we talked about all this a little bit at length. But it, again, is, there's a lot worse ways you can go about this.
There's a lot worse ways.
And I'm, like I just said, James Cook, keep being you.
Yeah, there's a lot worse ways on both sides. I think the Bengals
show that perspective.
Might be the team to look at and go, okay, I really hope my team never operates like that.
Yeah.
Where Trey Hendrickson, who has only ever been, it seems, a good guy in the league, has to multiple times this offseason kind of burn the organization, including showing up to voluntary workouts for 20 minutes just to talk to the media about how bad this has been, about the lack of communication that has been there. And then to top that all off, one of his compatriots on the defense, who they just drafted in the first round, is having similar problems.
And
it's incredible.
But also, for Hendrickson, it has been a years-long problem.
Yes. He mentioned that on the Pat McAfee show, how it was like, hey, if you put the season up again, we're going to get back to the table. We'll get you a long-term deal. Literally puts up the exact same season. What is it, 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years both?
Yeah.
Does it, and they're like, well, we didn't think he'd actually do that.
Oh,
that's the feeling.
We might actually have to pay him.
Oh, we
got to
actually do this.
Really? We have to do this? We have to do the negotiation part of this? Ugh, the Bengals are a disaster. And
they are a wonder.
I don't get them at all.
Other news on another AFC team, the Houston Texans. There was a report last week CJ Stroud was still not throwing at OTAs. There was some concern there. Concern may be alleviated. He is throwing today at mandatory minicamp.
And there we go.
So potentially his injury may not be much. I also did want to look up, because we have been talking about James Cook. We've talked a little bit about his stats. His playoff run, though, this year for the Bills, we've mentioned a lot that if they win that AFC Championship game, we may not be having this conversation at all. He may already have an extension.
He might already have an extension, or the number might even be lower.
Yeah. But
in a different sense.
His postseason was impressive. First game against Denver, 23 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown, good for 5.2 average. Actually had no catches, no targets even. Next game against Baltimore, 17 for 67, no touchdowns, but 3 targets, 3 catches, 15 yards. And then, of course, the Kansas City game, where I would argue he was their best offensive player, not named Josh Allen, 13 for 85, two touchdowns, good for 6.5 average, and three targets, three catches.
And if the defense holds the Chiefs, he has an iconic touchdown that gives them the lead.
He has – that's my – the Bills, if they went to the Super Bowl this year, would have two iconic plays this year alone. Just in against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was going to say they were both against the Chiefs.
Just against the Chiefs that would be played forever for Bills fans. It's the Allen run in the regular season, and then it would be the Cook. How the hell is he still up reaching for the pylon?
Mr. Fantastic stretching it as far as you can go.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a fun movie. I can't wait for that to come out, by the way.
But you got that Superman this summer?
Yeah. But still also this, like, it's an iconic play. If they win...
Yeah, now it's a play that we all remember.
It's a play that we remember, but a lot of people might not, because it might blend in with the typical Chiefs fan trauma at that point.
Well, I constantly mention it too, like outside, like we all remember the 2021 AFC divisional game. We all remember 13 seconds. We have a nickname for it. How many other fan bases like really look at it as, oh, it's 13 seconds?
I think there's enough fan bases that do. It's nationally recognized. I think this one, because of the fact that there wasn't like this one moment of collapse.
Oh, and it was just, yeah.
It was the defense slowly bleeding through the entire evening. Where, okay, yeah. Like, it's not like we're going to call this the failed tush-push game or
something. Right, right.
Like, I'm forcing a nickname even out of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a play there. And it's very simple. If they win it, it's you finally broke through. That's what that game is called.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the nickname of that game, but that's when this Bills team finally broke through. And that's obviously if it ever happens. That's when this group finally broke through. I remember this. And nationally, you could say that.
You could, yeah.
They finally got past the Chiefs. Thank goodness. I don't need to see the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl. That is what will be said. Please do it for the rest of the football fandom.
Yeah, I do wonder nationally if a lot of people are like, we just want one of the Bills or Ravens to just do it.
Yes.
just do it.
Yes, because do you remember the Super Bowl rating numbers where they spiked in the second quarter because Chiefs were getting beaten down?
That's right.
People that said, I'm not watching, actually held to their standards and then said, and then also went, wait, they're losing by what?
It's how bad?
It's how bad? Yes. So, again... To know that it feels weird. To know that you have a team that is seen as "quote unquote" the good guys
for now.
For now, ask Ravens fans. I guess it's a different story. But
oh, my dream is the Bills to become the villain of the league. That is my dream.
But the thing is that you are currently the underdog, the plucky underdog.
You're Rocky.
Almost.
You're Rocky.
Ready? Almost the jobber.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a good show.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are Vegeta.
The Bills are Vegeta.
And half of you, more than half of you, don't even know what I meant by that. But everyone, every main villain in Dragon Ball has to beat Vegeta in order to be shown as a true threat.
That's right.
The Bills are Vegeta. It's annoying as hell.
You know, on the Bills, real quick on this point, because I mentioned it with Sal Marana yesterday. That I had watched the Netflix documentary on the Boston Red Sox, that 2003-2004 season. Specifically, it really is when they hire Theo Epstein and they start moving forward then. And, of course, you have the iconic coming back down from 3-0 and to win the ALCS. And then they go on and win the World Series. And that's almost an afterthought. You know, a part of me watched it because there is that connection that Bills Chiefs has to that. It's not historical in that sense, although they do have some historical rivalries with the older Chiefs and Bills teams in the 60s. But there is that feeling there that the Yankees just always seem to get the Red Sox. Didn't matter how good the Red Sox were, it just always seemed to happen. And then it didn't. And eventually the Red Sox got over them in historic fashion. And in, if you ask any Yankees fan, an embarrassing fashion. But they got it, and they go on and win the Super Bowl, and or they win the World Series. And I'm watching that kind of thinking, too, is like, man, we might be getting to a point nationally, historically, that the Bills getting over the Chiefs alone in the playoffs might be documentary worthy. It might be that thing of like, that will be remembered forever because they couldn't do it for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's argued by, I think, most people, that if it weren't for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, Sean McDermott would already be considered a Hall of Fame coach.
Yes.
Because he'd probably have multiple Super Bowls. Then you add on everything they've already done, plus, let's say, for argument's sake, two Super Bowls.
Right.
Allen, it's not even a question.
Oh, yeah, no. He already has had to fight tooth and nail to get this MVP.
Yeah.
So that he can now be recognized with hardware of being one of these quarterbacks in this era. Because nationally, it's not seen that way before this. And mm-hmm. even then, there's still enough argument about a quote-unquote Mickey Mouse MVP.
Yep.
Which comes with the hilarious irony that what did we call 2 years ago?
Right. And so like I look at that and I'm like, yeah, we really are one piece being removed. I mean, how many times do we hear from it, from fans, calling McDermott a bad coach?
Right.
Where in reality, if you take away one piece, Andy Reid. Let's just take away Andy Reid.
Ready?
No. Or Mahomes from the Chiefs.
I'll do you one better. Take away Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, Spags is not the defensive coordinator.
Someone hires him as a head coach yep. somewhere.
We might be talking more
the
about...
The Chiefs are far less mm-hmm. annoying than they are.
Yeah. We might be talking about McDermott already. Signed, sealed, delivered. First ballot Hall of Fame coach. Allen, first ballot Hall of Fame coach. And our conversations are more along the lines of, has Allen passed Hasek as the best Buffalo player of all time? You know, where right. are they all-time Buffalo sports?
That's a fun off-season discussion.
But...
So I think we got to put a pin in this one for a couple months.
You're one piece away from like that being the conversation rather than are they ever going to get over them?
Yeah, let's save that one for like mid-July.
It's a curiosity. if no one's seen it, it's on Netflix. Just look at Boston Red Sox. I don't have the title because they've got a few of them because one, they followed them like last season or whatever. But it's really good. You hear from Kevin Millar. Theo Epstein's phenomenal in it because he still looks 15. Like when he like back in like the early 2000s, he was a young GM. But so cool to like hear those. And they had their own drama as well. Bills get rid of Stephon Diggs. They got rid of Nomar. I can never get his last name, so I'm just going to say Nomar.
Nomar Garcia Parr?
Thank you. I cannot pronounce it. They get rid of Nomar, and that's a big thing. And there was drama there, but they end up going on their run. And it's as a Bills fan, and I hate saying this, I really empathized with Boston, and I felt that struggle of just always being number two to Kansas City. That was a big thing, too, them finishing in the AL East. Number two to the same team for, I think, 7 years. It was a record at the time. And I empathized with that so much. I've seen the documentary before, too, but it was when it first came out, and now they lost to the Chiefs again, and I felt that because it's the same thing. They could beat them in a regular season series. They've swept them before in regular season series. But when it got to the playoffs, it was just Jeter. I mean, hell, even the A-Rod stuff. When they're about to get him and Kevin Millar makes an idiotic comment on SportsCenter, which is a hysterical moment in the documentary where he actually hears what he actually said and realizes Nomar absolutely had the right to be upset at him.
Yep.
Where before he's like, "Why? I don't know why he was upset. I was asked a question. I answered it." And then he's told like what it was. He's like, oh, he has every right to be pissed. Yeah, it makes total sense. But they even had, you know, that stuff where they get one up on him. They get A-Rod. A-Rod's different from Xavier Worthy, but for some Bills fans, it'll be, oh, my God. They got him. That was our guy. I empathize with it a lot. And it has made me think more and more of like, man, if the Bills do eventually beat the Chiefs, and we've argued too that they don't necessarily need to beat them for it to be worth it. Just get a Super Bowl, right? But if they were to beat them and go to the Super Bowl and win it, there might be for some nationally, the Super Bowl's an afterthought. Good for them. They won it. But they got them. And now they are.
Got them to get there, which – totally don't need that route anymore, by the way. I'm okay with those weird questions from national pundits.
Right, I'm cool. I don't care. But it is this fun thing. It also helped that Boston goes on from there to then win three more World Series.
We will get Stephen A. But can they beat the Chiefs?
Can they get – yeah, well, I don't care. Just give me a bowl.
Doesn't matter if there's a ring involved.
803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at hopefully 11:45. We're hoping to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll carry as much of that as we can, but if you want to give your thoughts, James Cook, in attendance today for Mandatory Minicamp, would love to hear from it. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. The Buffalo Bills, Carolina Panthers connection still very much alive.
Strong.
The Buffalo Bills have announced they are signing a linebacker as they get ready to begin mandatory minicamp, and that is Shaq Thompson.
I like this.
Who was with Carolina from 2015 to 2024. I was a little surprised. We just got the notification from Josh, and I was like, Shaq Thompson, I know that name. This is not like a quote-unquote practice squad guy who's like a camp body. This is a known guy.
So over the last 2 years, injuries have shut down his seasons. Mm-hmm. He played in a combined 6 games. They were all as a starter, though. But the 4 years prior, so 2019 through 2022, over 100 tackles each of those 4 seasons,
mm-hmm.
as he became kind of the de facto leader on that defense. I think this is a great depth signing.
Yeah.
If he's able to stick through camp.
Agreed.
This could be Deion Jones from last year.
Yeah, could be.
Where I loved that signing, and then Jones barely even saw the field in preseason.
That's right.
And you're like, all right, he's getting cut. But we don't know. We don't know. However, I am perfectly fine. Love this. It's a great depth signing at minimum. And hopefully you could see him make it through camp because he was a very excitable prospect when he was a first-round pick in 2015. And, man, it would be nice to see if he can regain some form. That's
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ed, where's he going to take snaps from? It's a depth signing, probably for your outside, and that's already Milano and Dorian Williams. Mm-hmm.
That is the question. You also do wonder, though, again, just because of a few years ago, them running out of linebackers.
Yes, this is another one of those moments of like, yeah, let's keep our options open here.
Yeah, it's one of those things of like, we don't want to have to go to a well of, hey, we know you've been on the couch all season, and you're getting ready to go on vacation, but we need you to cover Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Sorry, AJ Klein.
And that's a little bit better. A little bit better.
A little bit better.
Than what we would see in years past there. So, not bad. Pretty good signing there for the for the Bills to be able to add there with their linebacking core, Shaq Thompson. Hopefully, he can get himself a little healthy.
Yeah, we'll see. Question for you, though, because we are going to take a little bit of an early break here so we can maybe get from all of Sean McDermott.
Try to get Sean McDermott to end our show here.
So Sal brought it up to us in the first segment about how really this is kind of just an extension of OTAs. Nothing changes outside of the fact that the media will be there for 3 days, and it's completely mandatory. That's really it.
Right.
What are you looking for from this? What do you want to, I guess, continue to see from OTAs?
I guess what I want to see is the thing that Sal can't report. Because remember, I said this yesterday of like, ultimately, I'm not going to get overhyped about these sorts of things. Deployment does matter, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I don't get access to
if no.
I'm not there. And that is something that I'm probably the most intrigued by, because that is the Bills seeing enough through practices to where they're formulating their depth chart throughout this as it is.
Mm-hmm.
What am I looking for? Probably just how are the rookies doing?
Yep.
See if there's some splashes. See what the new look defense could be. So to say, how are corners deploying? If we get a little bit of that insight, is Trey White looking fresh coming back here?
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less, I want to see what happens with the rookies, the new additions on defense, because that was the thing that really bit you last year at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. On the deployment thing, for me,
I wish we would be able to get all of that.
I think you can get some of it, though, with context clues. When all of a sudden you hear Josh Allen threw a pass to Elijah Moore, goes for 25, you can kind of, okay, he's not with Mike White. He's not with Mitch Trubisky. Okay, he's with Allen. Same thing, Keon Coleman beats Max Harrison. We heard that in OTAs. Okay, Harrison is at least with the starters. You're not going to get the whole picture. But I think there's a way that you can sort of figure out enough of this, or at least enough to kind of not have you go hungry until training camp, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it.
Right, there'll be little snippets.
Yep, for me, I'm absolutely with you. I want to see the rookies. I've said it a few times. They need to start having, you know, extra base hits with some of these guys. I'm not saying home runs, but, you know, maybe a double or triple in the first and second round. You need guys that are coming in day one and contributing. And if I all of a sudden see that, like, TJ Sanders looks like a menace out there, and it's going to be tough to keep him on the field. Same with Deion Walker. Or for Harrison, it's like, hey, he's locked up the number two spot. You know, like, they are feeling really good about him. Or, as I've mentioned with the veterans, Elijah Moore. If all of a sudden it continues to be like, hey, he's like with Allen and they're connecting often, I think that is going to be big for the team going forward. I think that's why I like Moore a lot. He offers a dimension that I don't really necessarily think the Bills have a ton of. And then likewise with the defense, if Deion Walker and TJ Sanders are popping or at least look pretty darn good, mention it, I think they could get Ed Oliver to that extra level that we know is there. Two seasons ago, having, what, 9.5 sacks?
Yep.
At the D-tackle spot, not even to bring up QB pressures or QB hurries. So if they can get him back to that level, that's where your superstars are. Same with Max Harrison. If he can lock down that CB2 spot and get Benford a little bit more room there, I think that's your superstar in the outside corner spot, in the secondary. I think there are potentially superstars here. They just need to be augmented better. They need to be helped around more.
Matchups might help context mm-hmm. clues in terms of deployment, and that might be an interesting little thing and tidbit to look at there. Before we head to break, I want to ask you, Shaq Thompson, wearing number 45.
It's a good linebacker number.
Okay.
It's a good linebacker number.
I had to ask the authority of numbers.
Thank you.
Just to let you know on that one. But don't forget, Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back. Ready to tee it up for free? Every Friday, we're giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club, plus a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 Encore gift card, as well in that giveaway. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. We'll come back and make sure that we can carry as much of Sean McDermott as we can before we have to kick it to Sabres Live. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hoping to get to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott coming up here in the next few minutes as mandatory minicamps do begin today. We do know the big news of today and really the week is that running back James Cook is in attendance. We don't know exactly how much he'll be participating, but he is in attendance for mandatory minicamp as, well, it's unsurprising he is in contract negotiations with the Bills, 1 year remaining on his rookie deal. We did already hear from Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. Derek, I don't know if you saw the video that, at least from what I saw on Cameron Wolf's Twitter, NFL Insider, Cameron Wolf. McDaniel, I mean, does not look good. He looks like a man that is just given up.
He looks like a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Like he's going to get fired by week five.
Yeah. It looks like it's like this is a waste of my time. I shouldn't be
here. It's a waste of my time. And again, I don't know why. Oof. I don't know why Chris Greer gets to be the one to fire him, but, you know, that's the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And it's very strange to me, but, yeah, no, McDaniel looks defeated, and I like how different he is in a sense of, like, you know, mm-hmm. trying to be a different person over the last couple of years. It's a little bit of a fresh pace from, like, a lot of the coach speak and all this other stuff. However, it gets real old if you're not winning.
100%. And Pat tweeted in, feels like a guy who knows he needs to win with a roster that isn't as good as it has been. His identity is, quote, good vibes guy and believes it worked to an extent, but this is not a great look.
And the problem with it not being a great look is that ultimately he knows that there are some things out of his control. And I think he's displaying it
mm-hmm.
a little bit, like with the language or the body language of he knows that this is a worse team, like the tweet said, and he's kind of showing it. And again, Chris Greer getting another power struggle with a coach and being able to win it. I don't know what kind of skeletons he's got, but yeah, he's got the good ones.
And it is interesting, too, you bring up Chris Greer there. Like, the rosters they've built are not,
they're not conducive
to win in modern NFL.
No.
Now, they can be very flashy and exciting. And yeah, the Dolphins have had moments where in the offseason you're like, okay, they're the fastest track team we've ever seen. And look, against bad teams, they could put up points. They could run teams off the ground. 70 against Denver.
Yep.
But then the next week, against a better built Bills team, they were annihilated.
Humbled.
Anytime it gets below 60, they struggle. Anytime it's a team above 500, they lose.
It's uncanny how consistent that track record has been for those two scenarios over the past 3 years.
Yep.
This has been a three-year-long problem, and you wonder how much of it's on the head coach, because you got to have him ready at some point for these cold weather or better opponents.
Well, and I've also brought up, too, whenever Tua is hurt, that offense, not only – I mean, it's going to be worse when your starter's not there, but you look at Kevin O'Connell and some of these other – Matt LaFleur especially, these other offensive Wunderkind coaches, when their starter goes down, they're still able to score points. Tyreek Hill was a non-factor when Tua went down. That's offensive malpractice.
Yes. And it is, ultimately, yeah, how much of it is on the head coach, but it is surprising how much of it is on the GM, and he's not suffering these consequences.
Yeah.
But someone has to. And that's the reality of professional sports, is that ultimately these coaches, head coaches ultimately do serve one day to get fired.
Mm-hmm. Everybody.
It happens to the best of them, even Bill Belichick, for example. The only way it doesn't happen is if you're in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization.
Yeah, they're kind of the only one.
And even then, they had to fire Matt Canada a couple years ago.
In terms of head coach, like you're hired to eventually retire here.
Yes. And
hired to eventually retire.
But that's the rarity. That's the 1 in 32.
Mm-hmm. Also, update on Shaq Thompson. Sal tweeted this in about 2 minutes ago. The Bills roster now stands with this addition at their maximum of 91 players. No corresponding releases were needed.
Because Travis Clayton, their seventh-round pick last year, is an international player. That's where their exemption comes in. That's why they get 91, not 90.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there you go.
So in case you had a question on it,
There it is.
Got you covered.
But yeah, the Dolphins, it is also stunning how quickly their star fell. I mean they really just never actually had a moment in the sun. Because the offseason doesn't really count. Honestly, it doesn't. Their moment in the sun, truly, 70 points against Denver.
And even
they've had other great moments too. I think through like 6 touchdown passes against Baltimore.
I think that was their moment in the sun because they were started to be they were taken seriously a little bit.
Okay,
when they scored 70 against Denver, there was this okay, can you do it again against Buffalo? Because otherwise, you're the same team that can't beat a team over 500. You can't beat a good team again. And then it happens, and it's like, okay, can we actually take Miami seriously? No, not really. Okay, cool. And that's what that turned into. Can we take Miami seriously? No? Okay.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on. Because what happens to the Miami Dolphins ultimately is they lose an AFC's title to the Buffalo Bills, who were basically dead halfway through their season. They were sitting at what, 6-6?
I believe 7-6, I think, yeah. But yeah.
But the Bills refused to lose after that, including against Miami in Week 18. A game where Josh Allen did not play particularly well. You got a couple turnovers on him, and you still lost that football game.
Yeah, Bills only win that one 21-14. The week prior, though, because we brought up
that's
Baltimore
right.
already.
They lose to the Titans.
The week prior, Miami plays Baltimore.
Oh, that's right.
That's a 56-19 loss.
It was the week prior to that.
Yep.
Where they lose to the Titans, then Baltimore, then Buffalo. And it's that December of, oh, we forgot how to play football.
The Jets and Dallas are in there. There's 2 wins there. But yes, it's Tennessee, Jets, Dallas, then Baltimore, Buffalo. But yes, the Tennessee collapse against Will Levis. Jets they beat up on. Dallas was 2 fair weather teams playing each other. Miami ultimately wins it. And then, yeah, it's the demoralizing loss, I'd imagine, against Baltimore, 56-19. And then the 21-14 loss against Buffalo in the final regular season game of the year. Their star really did not last that long, if really at all. And even the brightest they've been, that was 22, is when they play Baltimore. And that's the 6 touchdown game. So that's why I'm making it the 70-point game. It came a year later.
Right.
They were still 11-6. They were because two at least only played 13 of those games, 14 of those games, he was an actor for a few of them.
That's right. That was the was that the season that he was concussed a couple times?
I believe so.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Erroneously put back in.
I believe so. Yes, because then they play Buffalo. They do win that game, but then it's the Cincinnati game.
It's the Cincinnati game after that he should not have, on a short week.
Yep.
Even that you see him doing that fencing pose, and you're like, oh, he really shouldn't have been in. You need to fire people for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just their star really never rose all that high, and it fell very, very quickly.
It's every time that it's risen, even up to like mid-level, it crashes hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that I could put on the coach. Why are you so good at this time of the year and then not?
Oh, I say that all the time about Zach Taylor. I think it's his fault why they're so horrendous in September.
It's like they're the opposites. They're yin and yang. Taylor can't get his team to start on time ever. McDaniel can't get his team to close a season ever.
Well, I mean, Derek, it gets cold.
It's yin and yang.
Yeah.
But also explain why Taylor can't get a season started properly.
That is both stunning.
You don't even get a snarky reason for that one. Like the Miami one, oh, it's cold. Like that shouldn't be a real excuse.
Cincinnati, you guys are playing a potentially historically bad Patriots team. You should smoke them. Oh, you lost? What do you mean you lost?
Right.
I mean, the Bengals are a horrendous September team.
Yeah.
Now, they're great in December. They're great to close out a year, which I maybe could argue is also a good sign of a coach.
A little bit.
Is that they're a good closer, but they just...
Can you do both?
Yeah. Please?
Can you do both?
But that's where I've mentioned it. I've gained a lot of respect for McDermott of being onions off the bye. I mean, hey, just you know they're going to win.
Hey, Sabres, can you do both?
Can you do both? McDermott's biggest problem has been he runs into the Chiefs and can't get the one seed. That's his biggest problem.
And if the biggest problem of the second most successful team in the regular season, save to the Chiefs, is that you can't get the one seed, well, you know why.
Yeah.
Because I had to say second to the Chiefs. It's not an accident at that point. They're just a problem.
They are the problem.
But Buffalo is a problem for 14 other teams in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Bills are just miraculously showing up here. No, they are a problem for pretty much everybody else.
Yeah.
And even in the regular season, it includes the Chiefs. They are... Man, they got to be one of the weirdest teams ever.
Because they are a great team. It's just they got to get through one bugaboo to like officially be graced as a great team. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Weren't able to get to head coach Sean McDermott. Hopefully he starts speaking around noon. For all that coverage, stay online, keep track, Sal Sports, Sal Capaccio on Twitter. He'll keep you covered on all of that. Me and Derek will be back tomorrow to break this all down. Hopefully we'll talk with Sal as well to get some of the comments from McDermott, Josh Allen after practice as well. But coming up after a quick timeout, did have a Stanley Cup final game tomorrow. Sabres Live will help you break all that down. This is WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.